Hey everyone, Adam here again to drop a content warning. This episode, we once again will talk about domestic abuse and sexual assault. We just kind of got back into some of the things we talked about last week. Nothing in the actual Breaking Bad episodes about it. It's just we discussed it a little bit more. It happens almost exactly at the 1 hour mark. So if this is the sort of thing that's going to ruin your day or just make you feel awful, then feel free to, well, you don't need to listen to the entire episode, obviously, you have agency, but that's the point where you're going to want to shut it off. Thank you, and here's the episode.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards?
Hi, guys.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, we're back. Season 5 of Breaking Backwards.
And season 1 of Breaking Bad.
We started Breaking Backwards 5 years ago. That's crazy. Yeah. Can you believe it's been 5 years? Bill Clinton was president when we started.
Bill Clinton?
Yeah, Bill Clinton. William Clinton III.
Is he the third?
I don't know. I was thinking of Willard Mitt Romney the third. I think he's a third. I think Mitt Romney's a third.
Okay. I dated a fourth once. That was fun.
Did you now? Oh, I do. Yes, I do know that boyfriend. He is a fourth.
He is a fourth.
He's a fourth. There was a guy I worked with at a pool who was something. Everyone called him Ivy, and I just thought his name was Ivy, and I found out it was just like a nickname because he was a fourth, and he had the Roman numeral for four, IV, on his arm, and everyone just called him Ivy.
That's wild. That's got to be weird because it sounds like he identifies as it more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Almost as though he's one in a fucking soldier in like a fucking clone war battle of
yeah.
People with his exact same name. Just he's a number in that. I don't know. It seems
it's very Prisoner 24609 of him to do. Do you understand
that reference?
You don't get that reference at all? Okay, you uncultured swine. Have you never seen Les Miserables?
I have never seen The Miserable.
Well, that's Jean Valjean's prison number. So now you know, and you can fake being hoity-toity like I do.
Oh, I thought, you know, there's a part in the movie Brazil. It's Academy Award nominated. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen Brazil, but it's very funny that that's where this went.
this is just literally me thinking of sequences of numbers and letters and shit. But there's a whole thing where it's like, you're going to need a 27B/6. And it's something, where like the world is so bureaucratic that even getting your sink fixed is like, you need some type of long, trail of papers and carbon copy slips to try to get something fixed. And so that is you saying that prisoner number reminded me of like, you're going to need a 27B/6. You got to blah, blah, blah. Robert De Niro is in it.
Is he now?
Just a little bit. He gets eaten by papers.
I just, wait, hold on. I might have gotten Jean Valjean. Oh, I fucked up it's 24601. I said 24609. So I'm uncultured.
We're both swine?
I'm garbage. I'm garbage. I roll around in poop and eat my poop.
Good for you.
Yeah, apparently that's what I just learned. That's what this Google says.
I watched a movie last night called The Woman in the Window.
Oh, where was that woman?
Netflix.
But, oh, no, I was hoping you'd say in the window, but okay.
No, well, you hang out with her a lot, though.
Oh, okay.
You know exactly where she is whole time.
Where's that woman
really
hanging
bad.
Out?
Amy, the window, yeah. She's it's like it attempts to be a psychological thriller of the movie Rear Window. With like a female protagonist. It's bad.
It's a bad movie.
Oh yeah. It's got Amy Adams, Gary Oldman.
Is it new?
Yeah, it just came out. And her name? Julianne Moore. I bet you think she's really pretty, Julianne Moore.
I actually don't.
Oh wow.
I think she's cool.
You like
cool.
Amy Adams?
I think she's one of the best actors ever.
Yeah but she's really good.
I don't find her particularly pretty to me.
I don't know that there's a single hottie in this movie for you then.
They're not, I mean, they're both hotties, but like, they're not like, I'm not lifting their jerseys up in the rafters like I would Gal Gadot's. You know what I'm talking about?
I hear you. Yeah. Who's aged really poorly in that movie, who's in it, is Gary Oldman. He looks terrible.
But doesn't he just look like a different human in every movie he's in?
He looks like himself here, and he looks awful.
Oh, he does. Because I thought the only movie I can think of where Gary Oldman just looks like Gary Oldman is The Batman's.
What about Leon the Professional?
I never saw that, so I don't know.
Oh, I think you might like it a little bit.
Would I?
Yeah, the whole premise is, who's that French actor that we like? I think his name's Rene.
But Renee Zellweger?
Yeah, it's her. Yeah, she plays a hitman, a retired hitman, and Natalie Portman is a 13-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. It becomes his mentee, and Gary Oldman is like some crooked New York cop who's, you know, fucking reminds me a lot of Tuco in his insanity.
This is a podcast about Breaking Bad. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Forgot we do that.
Yeah. Anyways, check it out. You might like it. It's a ringing endorsement for Leon the Professional.
Yeah. And check out Les Mis when theaters are open. It's a good show if you like operettas with nonstop singing.
Like Hamilton?
Well, Hamilton's another one. Yeah, it's very good. Hmm. I like Hamilton. I'm not shy about it.
I know you're very open about the fact that you like Hamilton. I think Hamilton's fine. Mm-hmm. I think if you told me that somebody came up with that idea in their 7th grade history class, I would have totally believed it.
I mean, there's a clip of when Lin-Manuel Miranda was at like a poetry slam the Obamas were throwing in like 2011. He talked about this? He did the opening song and Jon Stewart covered it. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? You're rapping about Alexander Hamilton? What is this, 8th grade civic? Like, he was making fun of it.
Yeah, you hadn't told me about that, but a fancy Broadway actor I went on a date with once, who we've mentioned on this podcast, who told me a lot about Hamilton, because I think he was in like the original, like before the off-Broadway, like standing in theaters, like reading this play out of a binder type of cast, who's gone on to do other stuff, was in it. And he told me all about, it was something to the effect of they were at something at the Kennedy Center. They're at some type of cultural event at the Kennedy Center in 2011. And he's like, I don't really have anything other than this rap about Alexander Hamilton. And then at the end of it, the artistic director was like, I will pay you. I will fund this play, like make it. And it took all those years to till 2014, I guess, to put together the script and everything. Yeah. But yeah.
I think the opening song sounds like a 4th grade project, but like a well done one.
Yeah.
Where he's literally just talking about the history of how Alexander Hamilton grew up. But after that, it was pretty damn good. And I was like, it's pretty... And then they got some ballads in there that are really good. That are just like, you know, about the stuff most places. The heartbreak and loss and stuff like that. You know, you got all the emotions in there.
All of it.
Uh-huh.
All right, so Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad. It's we're in season one with this... This is a season finale we've watched. Boy, does it not feel like it, because it was a writer's strike cutoff.
It was also, it was not very climactic. Any moment that they could have built tension in, they kind of didn't go put the pedal to the metal. It feels like a different show to me entirely. Yeah.
We'll get to, I'm surprised they aired this and didn't just be like, hey, season's cut off. Because as we'll see, the episode before this, I think, could have been a season finale and stood up as one. It's the episode before this is great. It's like a classic.
This one was okay.
Yeah, this one's fine. I like this one. It's rompy.
It has a lot of mini romps in it.
That don't really you could have made a whole episode about them trying to keep open house people out of their basement, and all sorts of wacky shit could have come up.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like they definitely have three unrelated beats for the A story arc, right? Where it's like, they got to make 4 pounds and now they have to get, you know, all that methylamine, but they can't cook it. So they do it in the basement. But oh, no, it's, you know, pretty basic. They could have focused in on any one of those moments and made an episode out of it.
And this was written by Peter Gould, who went on to is the showrunner for Better Call Saul. He's the Vince Gilligan of Better Call Saul. And so it's not written by some schmo. It's like, what? Because I legit think this was just supposed to be a transition-y episode, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, they're like, oh, we're not. And then, I mean, we'll get to it, but the final scene of this is the opening scene for the next episode.
Oh, yes, I'm aware. Yeah.
And I think they did that because these aired literally a year and a day apart.
Mm.
And to like be like, hey, here's what happened. But it is funny because obviously in the opening of last week's episode, like they do more stuff in the junkyard that they clearly didn't shoot. So that means they had to find, be like, hey, bring that shirt again. Hey, hey, what glasses were you wearing? All right, we need that. Which is very, they matched it good. They did a good job.
Yeah, I was wondering if they reshot it or they just like edited it.
Definitely reshot parts, but they definitely kept some of it like the exact same. Like the beating up part was clearly the same footage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had to watch someone get the shit kicked out of them again. Didn't care for that.
Yeah. Well, should we, do you think, begin at the beginning?
Yeah, we should begin at the beginning. Okay. Yeah, it starts off at a PTA meeting with just a bunch of people yammering. Not going to be talking about these actors because I don't want to.
Yeah.
There's so many.
I will say most PTA meetings are not this confrontational, but it looked like this was a special instance because somebody got caught. Well, one, the DEA was there because they were like, we don't like it when meth is in the schools. We take this seriously. We know the chemistry equipment was stolen and that the janitor was caught with weed. Did Jesse become a janitor at the school at some point?
Well, more people. I mean, weed's a really popular drug, Meg. I feel
not
like more people than just. Oh, you think Jesse's the only one who smokes it in Albuquerque? I mean, that may be. I don't know enough about the demographics of Albuquerque to refute that point.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out next week who this
janitor was. Yeah, what if Jesse, like, oh, that would be funny if that's how they met. If they're like, you were my former student, you had so much potential, now you're a janitor because your life got ruined by weed.
Or what if Jesse was like, okay, so we can cook easier and be around each other and communicate more, I'll take a job as a janitor so we're in each other's circles or something.
It's actually not a bad idea. That would have been, that probably would have been smart. Although he would have failed every drug test.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Oh,
so
but I guess
Jesse
they weren't drug testing.
What you're telling me pretty clearly is that Jesse wasn't the janitor.
I don't think I said that explicitly.
I think you said it implicitly, but
I don't think I said that implicitly. I think there's a 95% chance Jesse's the janitor.
Oh fuck! How am I gonna?
But a 5% chance he isn't. So who knows?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But well, it would have been easier now. You wouldn't have tipped your hat any which way if you said 50-50.
I tipped my hat in the amount I chose to, and it was a choice.
All right. Walt gets really horny because who wouldn't during this and starts to try to feel up his wife's leg, even though it's not like people across the way couldn't see that happening.
I don't get
risky.
How they could have seen it.
What?
It was under the table. Like you mentioned that in the chat. I was like, no, I don't think anyone would have seen that.
No, yeah, it was under the table, but it's not like there's anything blocking the table. You could still see.
But like you would have had to like the people across the table would have had to like wheel out and be like, huh. And he could have moved his hand up before that. And then also, it's fine if he just has his hand on his wife's leg, right? Like, so if someone saw that, like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah, but he's pushing up her skirt.
He is fingering her. That is true. And we should be made clear, she's very much into it.
At first, she's like, I don't know. But then he pushes it a little. Mm-hmm. But yes, it does seem like she's enjoying herself there.
Mm-hmm. Then Carmen, whose eyebrows are loud.
Yeah, she's got severe eyebrows in this scene.
Mm-hmm. She figures that out later.
All eyebrows were like in 2008?
Yeah, so everyone's eyebrows. Everyone just shaved them and drew them on. Everyone. Everyone. Not just the olds. Everyone did that. I did that. I don't know if you remember, but you did that.
No, I didn't do that because I had a boyfriend in 2008 who would constantly be like, we should pluck those eyebrows and want to pluck my eyebrows for me. And I'd be like, I like them big and thick.
my current stepmom, who is a hairstylist, waxed my eyebrows without my consent one time. Just
why didn't you just get up? I don't understand.
Because it was quick. She's funny. I like her. But it was just, she's like, I was getting my hair washed by her. Like, I was like, hey, can you cut it? And she's like, oh, let's do a wash. And then I just felt something warm on my forehead. And I was like, what's that? She goes, little wax, rip.
Oh, wow. Did you like how you looked later?
Yeah, it actually looked great. She did a really good job.
I want to meet your stepmom because I could use...
She's a cool lady. I like my stepmom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and the DEA is like, hey, a bunch of equipment was missing. And then Carmen's like, well, hey, Walt has cancer, so we should clap for him.
Yes.
And
they do.
They clap. They're like, whoa. Shit. I only clap for two things, Hamilton Live and cancer patients. Those are what I clap for. Those are what these claps do. Go on,
and then he reads the equipment that's stolen and immediately goes into the parking lot and gives it to his wife. Mm-hmm. Hard.
And I think she gives it to her husband a little bit.
No, yeah, because she's on top, and she was like, why was that so good? Usually we have bad sex, but this time it was good. I'm
usually
surprised.
You just stick it in there and try to vibrate. There's
boys,
no, there's
boys
no
don't
push pull.
Know how to use their penises.
We don't. We don't. We don't know how. We don't know how. We can't. Here's the thing. Boys. We can't feel anything down there. And so anytime we have sex, it's just us trying to show we're cool. Boys don't
that
enjoy
makes
sex.
Sense. That makes total sense. That explains a lot about.
So that's why we're bad at it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You heard it here first, folks. I'm the first one to admit it. Anytime a boy has sex, it's just to be cool.
I mean, that is the anytime a girl agrees to have sex, it's because she wants to be around a cool guy, or she's also horny and already knows she's cool. And she wants to help anybody else feel cool too. So there's a lot of reasons women have sex, but men, just the one. It's just the one reason.
Just to be cool, because we don't get horny.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's true.
Oh,
we don't.
Boys are so funny.
We're so funny. We're so funny. We're weird. We're rascals. All of
He's
us.
He's just scamps and scoundrels.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they fuck, and she's blown away that he knows how to use his dick at all. And he was like, it was literally just luck. This is once in a blue moon. You'll never have good sex again.
Yep. This is the one time. So enjoy it. I would take a video.
Yeah. And I put that in your noodle to masturbate to in the future because it's never going to be this good ever again. And this
never,
is one of the last times he ever has sex apart from, you know, in season four. So good for him.
Do they have sex again between them? I guess possibly
off camera.
Remember
that time when he calls?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's the one I remember, but I'm trying to think if there's any in between them, but I guess not.
No, he doesn't have any more sex.
He jerks off a bunch though, right?
Yeah, we see every time he jerks off and he puts his own pinky up his ass, which I think would feel weird, but whatever.
Oh, you don't have a prostate, Meg. It feels great.
Your own pinky, though?
Your own pinky. It feels good.
That gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Okay. Wow.
What?
I didn't realize this was on the right-wing podcast now.
No, the idea of putting my own hand inside myself bothers me.
Well,
I don't care if people like to get themselves.
Obviously,
in there.
You bidet for an hour beforehand.
It's not even that. I don't like this. This is very revealing. I don't like the sensation of I don't know how to describe. I don't like the sensation of me putting any part of myself inside myself. I don't like.
Okay.
It's just a personal thing.
That's okay.
It freaks me out. I don't find it.
I get it.
Yeah, it bothers me. So I would think that I thought maybe boys like it when strangers do it better than if they do it to themselves, but maybe they know themselves best.
I mean, cards on the table. I've never stuck my own pinky up my butt. I've never actually really messed with my prostate all that much. It was for a bit, but, or I was saying all that as a bit, but you know, maybe I'd love it. I don't know.
I bet that there's the potential for you to enjoy it. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. There's a whole cottage industry built around that prostate, so there must be something to it.
So true.
Yeah. So then they play the Breaking Bad theme song.
Which we all know by heart.
Which we all know by heart. We have it on our Spotify playlist. It plays at the gym.
It's got a 200-piece orchestra.
Uh-huh. And the violins kick in first.
Yes.
And then the tubas come, and they go bum, 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 bum. And then five trap sets go.
And then the theremin kicks in, and it takes over with the real spooky sci-fi vibe.
Yeah. It sounds, I think we have a clip of that right here.
There they are, those theremins.
There's the theremin that we hear. Yeah. And then a talking dog just walks in a frame and goes, it's Breaking Bad. And That's it. So a lot of budget went into that theme song, and it seemed mostly on the orchestra. They put peanut butter in that dog's mouth to make it look like he talked.
Yeah. Also, though, they record it like live on tape every single time. They don't use the same one over and over again. So they're always like negative on the budget immediately because that's such an expensive orchestra.
You're saying like every single episode they use a different orchestra take because they want it to feel real. Like it's not just a recording. They record like, all right, episode two, we need the orchestra back in here.
To play the same song. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But we all know that already.
But we all know that song. There's a lot of recordings of it.
My favorite is from May 5th of 2011.
That was a good one. Yeah. Season four.
Yeah. All right. So now is the time when.
See if you know what? It.
What?
See if you know it and see if you can get it. We'll see. I'm reading it. I know what happens.
The baby shower? No.
Nah, not the baby shower. No, there's a realtor who's showing Jesse's house to a couple.
Yes. And they go, what's this big old gross thing in the ceiling? And she says, it's got a lot of work. It's a fixer-upper. This house does have heavy, like, fucking haunted house vibes to me. And it sounds like because Jesse then, you know, Walt shows up and the realtor is like, hey, you need an appointment. And he's like, I want to talk to the owner. And she's like, go to the RV. And Jesse's all hurt from Tuco in some way. And
the realtor has a really good line read there that I do not want to gloss over. She clearly doesn't like Jesse. It's just a job because she thinks she can make some good commish off this house.
So true.
And she's like, hi, appointment only. He's like, I'm actually friends with the owner. And she's like, ugh, he's in the recreational vehicle. It was a good line read by this person who, I don't know.
She says recreational vehicle with a lot of contempt.
Yeah.
It's
wonderful. I know she's not an under five, but I would like to just find out if this lady has done anything else. I can't find her. Fuck it. I don't care. I do not care. I hope she gets work in New Mexico. There's too many people who say one or two things in this episode. It broke me. I closed all my tabs. I don't care. No one else cares. I don't care.
True.
That bit I started a year ago. Okay. We'll pick it up next week. And then Jesse's he's all like, oh, ow!
I'm hurting my tum tum.
My organs.
My tummy hurts. Tuco hurt my tummy.
I pooped a bunch and that hurt my colon.
And then he goes, it's okay. Here's $17,500 because I'm in business with Tuco. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get him 2 pounds of meth next week. And Jesse's like, oh, you're killing me, Mr. White. You're killing me dead here. There's not enough pseudo to get all that meth. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? So then he says, oh, my house, I'm selling it because it's got slushy people in it and it's probably haunted and we flushed them down the toilet. So now, I think
we're getting close to the episodes you've actually seen like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, I think I know exactly what happens here because it happens.
It'll have new context for you.
It'll gross me out and I'll have a problem with it.
Oh, wait, you don't like that? That seemed like it looks so... We'll wait till we get there, but...
I don't like to see dissolved carrion bodies. It's gross. Want to have my daily cherry slushy, which I like.
Do you actually have a slushy every day?
Because I'd probably have diabetes if I did, but I would have them weekly, but not anymore. Though I did have a piña colada on Wednesday and that gave me a brain freeze and that was nice.
I've been going through a muscle building phase lately, so I've been eating a bunch more, and it's been just wonderful. I've been eating so much. It's great. A lot of cereal.
Yeah, but you're eating, like, that much more ground beef and broccoli and stuff, right?
No, I do an 80-20 rule. I still get to eat a little bit of, like, you know, my Lucky Charms, but that's just the morning. But then later on, you know, ground beef and broccoli.
Yeah.
It's like, calories in, calories out. It doesn't matter where it's come from.
Mm.
Just get a little bit of fruits and veggies each day. You're fine.
I eat a lot of salads. And I
don't like salads.
I know. I'm sorry.
I don't like them. They taste gross.
Yeah. I mean, I still put the barbecue ranch dressing on it.
Yeah. Why not just have a bowl of barbecue ranch dressing? That's what I do.
Why would you eat a bowl of barbecue ranch dressing?
Because it tastes good, Meg.
All right, so so there we
they go to the doctor's office.
Yeah, and Skyler's like much dumber in this season than she ever is going forward.
Only in this scene. I don't think she is later in the episode.
Well, she's like, he's so horny and we've been fucking, so he doesn't have cancer anymore, right? And the doctor's like, that's just not how that works.
I think she's like, that's a good sign, right? And then he's like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. It means we're doing something right.
Yeah.
Because usually if we fuck up, his dick falls off.
Yeah, I was surprised that Walter wouldn't be like, please don't say that to the doctor. I would be humiliated if that happened. Yeah, I would be like, what are you doing? I have had enough experience with, you know, like partners at the doctor with me who are like, this happened or we did this. And I'd be like, don't say that to the doctor. I don't want the doctor to know about that, you know?
Yeah, but also, he's hot.
The and doctor is so hot.
Yeah.
And his voice is beautiful. He's just got a lot of good. You can tell he takes care of himself.
He does. Good-looking guy. Yeah, he's a wide shoulder breadth, and so, and that takes work. That you're not born with that.
Yeah, he's goddamn.
He puts the time in, is what I'm saying.
Is he single? Do you know?
He's been through several muscle building phases, so to speak. Let's find out if he's single. Dr. Del Cavalli. His name is David House. Fun last name. Hello, Mr. House. He was in The Host. He was in some TV series called Thank You Five that looks to be, oh God, just the names of these episodes is making me cringe. It's some show called Thank You Five, and the episodes are called Tech Week, Fundraising.
Oh,
Stumble
yeah, isn't
through.
Thank You Five a thing people say when manager goes like 5 minutes to curve?
Yeah, so it sounds like a show like built for theater dorks. Community theater. The stakes are high, but the expectations are low. Is the tagline on this show? Oh man, I do kind of want to watch this whole show. It was a show that had 12 episodes in 2018, so clearly it did not continue. But let's find out. Hold on, I want to find out. Oh boy, this man is 2 years younger than my father.
Is he beautiful still?
Holy shit, he's dead.
Oh no.
He died in 2016 in Albuquerque. Oh,
well, that's the end of Breaking Backwards.
Yeah, wow. That's
that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that.
Let's say, yeah, someone that hot should never pass away, and he died at 57. He was very young.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's really sad. I'm going to see if can I find out what happened or... Oh, man. Because I was like, oh, man, he hasn't booked in a while, and oops.
The thing happened that we sometimes infer may have happened when people don't book for a while.
Yeah. David House. There's no way he has his own Wikipedia. Nah, we can't find it. Yeah. Oh, David House obituary. Oh, yeah. He still looked handsome. David was a computer expert, musician, voiceover, film, TV.
He had a full life, David.
Yeah. Most notably on the hit series Breaking Bad. He also worked in radio, first at Antioch College, then at QA. Oh, man. Doesn't say how he died, but that's a bummer. He was a volunteer host on KUNM's Wednesday All That Jazz show, which sounds like a new Mexican radio show.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, well, I'm getting bummed out now. Well, we miss you, David. We thought you were great.
Yeah, please know posthumously that you are a hunk.
You're a hunk.
And I'm sure you're up in heaven still just being that strapping guy that we find attractive.
Mm-hmm. 500 dumbbell curl salute to you, sir. And yes. Back to the episode.
Okay, so yeah. Then Skyler's like, what if he did, like, he got his chakras aligned and shit. And the doctor's like, I don't think, whatever, you know, just whatever makes you get through the night. And that
he's
was
like,
kind of the end.
Fucking, this appointment's over. Like, you sure. Yeah, fucking leave.
He goes like, you know how expensive it is to sit down with me and you're asking me about Eastern medicine? Are you kidding? Okay. Yeah. And so Walt goes to get his chakras aligned at a psychic shop for $85.
And it
bucks.
Works.
Yeah. And they upsell him on this whole, like, beeswax candle thing where they pray over it for 3 days and it opens up his heart chakra and he never has to cook meth again because the universe wants to give him the abundance he desires. So it worked. It worked.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You love to see it.
He sneezed out all of his chest cancer into, it was black and it looked like the sludge from that Fern Gully movie, and it sounded like Tim Curry.
It had a face and it said, "I want to kill you." It had a face and it said that. Yep.
The end.
The end. End of show.
Yeah.
I guess they kind of retconned this part out next season.
Yeah, they worked around it. They were like, that wasn't canon.
This isn't canon, apparently. They go to a junkyard.
Yeah, and Jesse's like, what the fuck is this? You know, you don't set, why would you, it's like you're basically being the most basic bitch right now. This isn't how people deal drugs. Why aren't we at the mall? And then Tuco shows up and he's like, why are we not at the mall? I like those pretzels.
You're cosplaying as a drug dealer right now. You're not being a drug dealer. And and then he's like, so we only have some meth. We wanted to make more, but couldn't. And here you go, sir. And
Tuco's a lot more reasonable here. I mean, like, in terms of he's not just, like, methed out of his mind, like, jumping up and down and being like, well, I'm gonna blah, blah, blah. And he's like, listen, you gotta make me more meth by next week. I'm gonna dock you some cash here because you fucked up and do not overpromise again. And then Walt's like, no, I want all the money and I'll make you 4 pounds of meth. So there. And then Tuco goes, this is fun. Like, you can talk as much as you want, but if you don't give me 4 pounds of meth next week, it's going to be a problem. Let's go. And that's kind of the end of the scene. And he goes, we're going to the mall. I want to go to Hot Topic to get some Funko Pops or Pop Funkos or whatever.
They're Funko Pops. I think you're right the first time.
Oh, great.
And I mean, and I'm not the source to ask on that, but I think you're right.
Yay. And then it's a baby shower.
Then it's a baby shower. Yep. And then they go back to the house and Jesse's like, I need 300 boxes of pills. And Walt's like, guess what? We don't need pills. We're going to use science to make different meth.
Where we're going, we don't need pills.
He says where we're going, we don't need pills. And Jesse goes, that's a sick reference, Mr. White.
I like that shit.
I like that shit. And then there's the yeah, science meme comes from this.
Yeah, science.
Have you never seen that around? Because yeah, science. Like, anytime someone posts an article of like doing something cool scientifically, you'll see a meme of Jesse like making that pose and yeah, science underneath it.
Maybe it, I don't know. It doesn't ring a huge bell for me.
It was big in like 2011 when memes were everywhere.
Oh, memes are still pretty significant.
But like in 2011, they had like the same like set of 30 that people just kind of did over and over again. Like, you know, Success Kid and Scumbag Billy or whatever his name was, and
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, and this was one of them. And that's all I'm saying.
One of our friends, you know her, you love her, Lauren Sharp. Her friend was, or cousin or something, was dating the blinky eye guy, who does the blinkies. You know that guy?
I don't remember that. I don't know who that is.
You know the one that goes like,
oh, he's in a GIF of some kind. I'm assuming, right? Oh, can you text it to me? Because I'm not 100% sure. Oh, I guess you're on your phone right now, so it would be hard. But
let me Google it and then send it if I can do it. Let's see.
All right. Yeah, I would like to see. Oh, I guess I can Google it right now. I don't need you, I guess. Blinky eye GIF. So I'm good. I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy. Oh, well, was he handsome?
I don't know. I never met him. I didn't even date him.
Oh. Yeah, I remember that. I've seen this.
Yeah. She was dating him or went out on a date with him. I don't know.
That's cool.
And that was someone, our good friend Lauren Sharp, LL Cool Sharp, on all social media. And probably that's her address in real life. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's on the side of her house. That's where the mailman goes. Yeah. LL Cool Sharp.
LL Cool Sharp way.
It's weird. Every time I'm on her street and I see the postman, he always goes, huh, no numbers, and then just delivers the mail. Don't know why. Seems like they'd figure it out if they deliver there multiple times. But that's cool. Wait, double check, because I know one time we had problems when you clicked away.
No, it's recording. I see it. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. And then they go to a baby shower.
Yeah, and the baby shower is all found footage, or more often than not found footage, of Marie being way too fucking much with terrible hair and a dress that isn't appropriate for the occasion. And Skylar being like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with all this attention. And Walt Jr. being a pervert with the camera.
Yeah, he's trying to get some good boob footage.
For his sister? That doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Yeah. And this poor woman who doesn't get any speaking lines just
has her rack zoomed in on.
Got hired for a non-speaking role on a cable television show. And she's like, yeah, they filmed my boobs. I guess that's what I'm doing.
It's better than being a dead body, I guess. Maybe. That's
true. Better than being a dead.
I don't know. Hard to say.
A dead body sounds fun because you can just chill.
I wonder how much you make.
Probably $8,000.
$8,000, you think? $8,000. You're not making $8,000 for that. There. I guess it depends how long you're on screen for.
I mean, if like you're Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Okay. So then, they're opening up presents, and you know what Marie gets? Skylar, she's very excited about it.
A white gold tiara,
which is insane. That can't be.
Although she says it all, I thought Skylar was like, it must cost what, $500-$600? I thought something like that would cost way more than $500 or $600.
Yeah, white gold with fake gems. I don't know. Yeah, obviously, it might have been gold plated, white gold plated, or something. But yeah, I don't know what jewelry costs. I don't know jewelry math.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I don't wear jewels.
You should. I think you'd be a good jewel guy.
Became like a Persian emperor, I would.
Yeah, I think
but
you should
I'm not. I mean, I'm trying to.
Yeah.
But I'm not yet, and I'm not going to fake it. While I'm running for emperor in Persia, I'm not going to wear jewels. That's for winners, not people trying.
Okay, well, when you do become one, I really hope you wear a lot of
jewels. Oh, wear a lot. I'll have a ring on every finger. Don't worry.
Oh, wow. I don't have any rings on any fingers, but one day.
Yeah, I don't... Anytime I see a ring on a guy, there's two types of guys, I imagine. One is like a sleazy type, like a Saul Goodman, like who has like a pinky ring or like, you know, a lawyer type.
Sure.
The other is like a comic book nerd, and it's like a skull, like a big, loud skull. And then on their other hand is a different, slightly smaller skull ring.
Yeah, sure.
And I guess the third is a wedding, which is fine. That's the only kind I'd probably wear.
I don't know, like, yeah, I know there's some men who, like, hate wearing rings, but I think that is a fucking lie. I think so that they won't wear a wedding ring. I think they just like having the attention of single people.
Oh. I was
but
like,
anyways, I think you're right. I think only sleazy comic book Persian men. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Cut that out.
Okay. No, the Persians who would wear it, would that'd be the only right way to do it, because then you're royalty, like Xerxes.
Xerxes?
Yeah, from 300.
I don't know that movie.
You never saw that movie? It's not good, but the bad guy is a large Persian man who...
And he has lots of rings?
He has lots of rings, yeah.
Weird.
I'm pretty sure the casting of it's problematic now, but I would need to look
because
into it.
Russell Crowe is in it or something?
No, I forget who plays him, but and the whole movie's a little... The movie's not good.
Oh, the guy who looks like a fart. What's his name? Gerard Butler. Yeah, he's in it. He's definitely not Persian.
No. Well, he doesn't play that. He plays one of the Spartans. They're not the Persians are the bad guys in that movie.
Oh, is Gerard Butler the right type of ethnicity for a Spartan?
Greek? I don't know. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal played the Prince of Persia.
That's not
a
good.
Video game series. Yeah. I heard that movie wasn't good.
Yeah, I guess I could see why that is.
I never played the games.
Seems me neither. Okay. All right, so Hank is like, I gotta be drunk for this. I hate, I hate this. I hate watching my wife re-gift stolen pieces of jewelry.
Yeah, and then Walt's like, well, we have some alcohol. Would you like to step outside and have a philosophical battle of wits?
Yes, Hank goes, yep, that sounds good. I'll bring my confiscated Cuban cigars. And they drink some type of brown liquor and smoke cigars from Cuba and have a discussion about the arbitrariness of what is deemed illegal and when it's deemed illegal. And Adam and I think we're of the same mind here. Hank is kind of saying, like, you know, if you want to see examples of drugs being bad, come to any holding cell and hear how... you know, people talk about drugs. They're not in their right mind. It fucks them up, and that's why they're illegal. And Hank's like, well, you know, but what if they weren't illegal? Those people wouldn't be in jail, kind of.
Or Walt says that, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have only one node in my mind at any one point in time for any man's name. And when they talk, I get really confused.
Yeah, you call me Hank all the time.
I do. and often my son's name as well. And then I call my son Hank a lot. Yep. So, yeah.
Yep. Yep, it happens.
And they couldn't be more different in appearance.
Mm-hmm. Your son looks a lot like Hank.
My son does not look like Hank.
Your 9-year-old child looks like
He's
Hank.
I've
told you
and
this.
What if he did? That would be insane. Oh, my butt is asleep.
But he was the same height as he is now?
What?
But he was the same height as he is now? He's just a bowling ball looking child? Who's yeah.
Hey, Ma. Ma.
Hey, I'm going to marry Shania Twain, huh? How about that, Ma?
He wants to marry me, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it's a little old for him to want that, almost 9, but he often is like, because I'm like, I'm sorry, honey, we can't get married. There's laws against it, and mm-hmm. it's just not right. And he's like, but what if we changed the laws? What would happen if they changed the laws? We could get married then? And I'm like, yeah, that was the only thing stopping that.
I mean, Meg, why are the things that are illegal? I'm just kidding. No, yeah.
Truly have freedom if we can't marry our own children?
Yeah. And maybe I'm old-fashioned, I don't think you should be able to marry your children.
That's fair. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I see what you're saying. Maybe mm-hmm. I shouldn't be able to. I do think that there are certain things that are stupid laws that are basically just proving that society views all free adults as fucking kindergartners. Like, mm-hmm. why do we have open container laws? I don't get it.
Yeah, man. I remember the first time I was in a place without open container laws in Europe, and oh boy. It was wonderful.
I mean, I go to places often without open container laws, like New Orleans and Vegas, and I gotta say, I feel real fucking free there.
Here in New York, they basically don't have open container laws. They're not enforced.
Yeah, I mean, it was very lax during... Man, this is going to be a long episode. It was very lax during...
I'm cutting 10 minutes out of us just bullshitting
at
the beginning.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
it was very lax during... COVID in the beginning, but now I think they are, you know, using open container laws if they just want to get someone in trouble or they have a ticket quota they need to fill. But mm-hmm. I was walking around with, you know, tall boys of Mike's Hard Lemonade at the very beginning, just like, this is my life now. This is who I am. So.
That's fun.
It was pretty great, actually. I miss it.
Yeah, I miss them too. There was like a block party outside my apartment last night. That I was playing video games with some friends, and I was like, there's a crowd outside. And I looked out, and I was like, holy shit, it looks like a music festival down there. And I was just like, well, I want to know what's going on. So I walked out, and I pretended to check my mail, and like a few people made fun of me.
Why?
I was like, oh, what's going on here? And some guy is like, he goes, we're all just here to hang out and watch you check your mail. And I was like, okay. And I was like, oh, they're like, what are you checking for? I was like, a tax document, which was a lie. And, then I was like, huh, I didn't get it. Well, I'm going back inside. What is this for, by the way? And some guy was like, Ted Lasso season 2 premiere. And I was like, didn't season 1 just come out? And then he's like, yeah, so I guess it's pretty early. And I was like, why are you all mean?
What did they actually say when you asked what it was for?
That's what I am not doing a bit.
Wait, that no, is that verbatim. Is a classic thing you would make up on the spot.
That is a thing I would make up on the spot. That is not a bit. That is verbatim what happened.
What?
I don't get it. And I was like, this seems cool. Like, I miss crowds. Like, this is...
Why didn't you just go if it was on the street?
Because I was, like, in bed. It was at midnight when I realized it. And then I was, like, in my, like, shorts and a t-shirt. And I was like, I don't know. And I'm bashful.
That's true. You are, if nothing, if not bashful.
Yeah. And I was like, all right. And I was like, well, the first people I run into are going to be mean. I don't want to go.
Plus, that goes against everything Ted Lasso is about.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Ted Lasso.
I don't know that you would like it. I think it would wear pretty thin pretty quickly for
My
you.
My brother says it's really good. He's been wanting me to watch it, but I don't have Apple TV Plus.
I got it as a screener and watched it all on a weekend a couple months ago. And I thought that it wasn't that good. But, you know.
B plus?
No, it's like a C. But like Ben Harp and I texted about this recently. There's definitely a little bit of like benevolent male fantasy in it where like Ted Lasso like grants his wife a divorce because it would make her happy. And he's giving that to her out of the kindness of his heart. And it was like, okay, dude, whatever. I didn't.
I like Jason Sudeikis a lot.
You like him?
That's all. I like Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. Do you like him? I used to think he was very handsome.
I still do.
I think he's all right. Yeah. He's never going to hear this. I think he's fine. I think he looks too similar to my ex-husband that I can't allow myself to find him attractive.
I've seen your ex-husband. I don't see that similarity, but, you know.
That's true.
I've only seen him the one time, so.
You've seen him.
I've seen photos, but I've only seen him in person one time.
Really? No, it was twice. You've seen him twice.
I don't think so. No, I only remember the one time.
Well, are you talking about the one, like, party?
It was like by a pool. It was like a transaction of children.
Yeah. So that was at that one time you and never mind. we'll get into it off mic.
We'll get into it off mic. Walt goes in like he's like, hey, you got all the supplies, cool. And Jesse goes, it is cool, except
no methylamine. Means
oopsie daisy.
You gotta either pay $10,000 to these guys to get it, and then Walt's like, or we could get a bunch of Etsy sketches and fucking do it ourselves. And
romp, 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 romp.
So Walt deconstructs a bunch of
Etsy sketches.
There we go. Etsy sketches. And explains that the chemical found in there is, you know, it's good at blowing up metal and melting through metal when it's hot. And they are going to go and steal it themselves. And they do that. That's what they do. They bungee cord a security guy in a outhouse, melt the lock, and are like, why is it so big? I wanted little bits, but no luck. And steal a big barrel, and it's really heavy, and I can't imagine how heavy it would be. It'd be really heavy.
Yeah, it's a barrel full of liquid.
Yeah. It's got to be hundreds of pounds.
Yeah, and then famously, next season, surveillance footage gets out, and they probably should have rolled it.
They probably should have, yeah. They roll it at other points. Why didn't they do it then?
Panicking.
Yeah.
It's funny, the guy was trying to poop, and they wrapped a bungee cord around him, so he couldn't poop. Well, could poop.
He could definitely poop. He just can't get away from his poop, which he says famously, boy, oh boy, I can tell this is going to be a stinker right before he goes into the body. So he's stuck with that. And that's his fault for having
and
to poop.
And he goes, in and out, Ferguson. We want to get in and out real quick or else I will die from these fumes from my asshole. Ferguson, you need to stop eating Chipotle.
Oh, easy, easy, easy. Ferguson, you have to stop combining sushi and Fritos right before work or something like that.
Because, boy, oh boy, just some things come out of you.
Yeah.
Some demons.
Maybe we should talk to a doctor, Ferguson.
And then he's like, oh, but sushi and Fritos is so good.
So then he dies right there. He
dies, yeah.
He dies from his own gas and the fumes of his shit with other shits he's taken previously, assuming, like, you know, different dinners and stuff.
Yeah. I thought they were using stock footage from Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark because they show his face melting, like, at the end
in the
Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's, you know, a guard right outside who looks like a million years old, and he goes, he chose poorly. They go and they cook the meth, but it's hard to get the barrel downstairs. And then Walt is like, I hope you talk to the fucking realtor, you piece of shit. And Jesse goes, ooh, good point. Let me leave her a message and just not try to communicate with her any more than that. And they cook the meth, and then guess what? It's an open house.
Yeah, it's an open house. A child walks up and is like, and Walter's like, go away.
Shush.
Shut the fuck up.
Stop it.
Knock it off. Okay.
Fuck off, kid.
Just fuck up. And then he's like, you keep them out of here. And which you think, they set this up to be just all sorts of wacky antics, but really all that happens is one guy tries to get down and Jesse blocks the door. And then goes, everyone get the fuck out of here. We're not selling the house. We're not selling it.
Yeah, I thought, like, Jesse would have done something with science here or just, like, took a big, big shit or so. I don't know anything other than being like, go away, which he could have done immediately and not, like, at that moment. I don't understand why he did that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he could have been like, I am painting tasteful nudes downstairs. Didn't realize you were doing an open house.
Or, yeah, and just come out naked himself. But what are you going to do?
Just be like, I'm sorry. This is what I do on Wednesdays.
But instead, he just yells and that's the end of it. And then they cook the meth and Walt goes home. And he had previously said, I'm going to a sweat lodge for the weekend to his wife. And guess what? She believed it. And then when he smells like meth, she goes, or he goes, oh, yeah, that's the herbs from the sweat lodge, you know?
Yeah. Hey, but we missed the most important. We missed the meat of the episode, Meg. We missed the most important part. Skylar goes to return a tiara.
Oh, my God. You're right. How did I do that?
We missed the part, the what this episode is famously known for. That's like talking about, that's like, hey, this is Jaws cast. We talk about everything Jaws and we're like, except the shark? No,
okay,
we have to talk about the tiara.
Up. Okay. So Skylar goes to return the tiara and guess what? They're not happy about it.
This wonderful human specimen of a man. I do want to look up what this guy's deal is because he has a look and
it definitely screams like, yeah, jewelry owner or auctioneer for black market goods.
Or like teacher you don't want.
Yeah,
like
very strict headmaster.
He's still doing it. He's somehow, of the two people we've looked up, he's somehow the not dead one. And is that too much?
No, I think it's a good point.
And he's booking like crazy. And, oh man, his first booking was in 1998, which seems like he probably was pretty old. Because that had been 10 years before this.
That's true. So he would have been in his teens? No, maybe he's one of those people who's always looked this shitty, you know?
He was allegedly born in the year of our Lord, 1949. So okay. He's old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like he runs a regional bank.
He does look like that. And he's not,
I guess he runs
great about it. Yeah.
But like a bank that's in a strip mall? I don't know.
No, I think he runs a stuffy, like, you know, branch of a bank. And he doesn't like if you don't leave immediately when they deny your loan, when you're like, actually, no, I have proof of concept here. If you let me, like, sir, we're asking you to leave.
I wonder, he has 70 credits. So he's in a lot of stuff.
Sure.
So he's done well for himself. I'm assuming he lives in New Mexico. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I wonder if he has ever been like, hey, my agent, I got this look, I know, but I want to try to branch out and I want to do like sexier parts. Can you just try to fight for like, you know, like the hunky guy or like, I think me and Idris Elba should be doing stuff together.
You should be going out for the same parts. Yeah. I always wonder why they like, if Michael Knight was ever like, or not Michael Knight, Wayne Knight was ever like, hey, why am I not like the star of a romantic comedy, right? So
who's Wayne Knight?
He plays Newman. He's in he's in Space Jam.
I notice you keep sending me out for these schlubby guy roles, but you know,
I have real sex appeal. Yeah,
yeah.
And not to say this guy isn't a lovely person, but
yeah, he's probably very nice. We're not dunking on this man.
Why isn't he in Magic Mike? I don't know.
Maybe he went out for it and his line reads weren't good.
That's true. Maybe he doesn't know how to dance. We don't know that he does.
He looks like in his newer headshot, he's lost a little bit of weight. It doesn't look like he has two faces.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
But it's like old, his current headshot, it's like old man.
Yeah, he's got a, what do they call that? A turkey gobbler.
Yeah. He's just older now. Yeah. So, you know, but it looks like he's kept, you know, he's probably at some point was like, you know, if I want to live longer, I should take care of myself a little better. And he's not like, I'm like a smoke show by any stretch of the word, but he looks like he's like does water aerobics.
That's cool. I love a water aerobics class. I do it once a week. It's very fun.
Yeah, that's great. Where you like have those weights in the pool and you.
No, it's like, it's a lot of like core work and stuff like that. The resistance is pretty intense. Like if you know what you're doing, but yeah.
Well, like, what's the thing? I worked at a pool that had like a lazy river, and then once a day they would like during lunch, they would shut down the lazy river and old people would walk around it for an hour.
I mean, that could be like water aerobics as well. There's just like different, like, you know, different degrees of water aerobics. I just like exercising socially a little bit too, you know.
I get you. I used to be in a class structure with exercising and I do miss part of it. Yeah. It kept me going faster because, you know, you get the YouTube pumping while you're at the gym and you're like, oh boy, I've been sitting here for 5 minutes. That my rest period's supposed to be two. Mm. Anyway. Yeah, so this jewelry guy, then he's like, I'm going to call the police. He has an annoying voice, too, which I'm sure he's used a lot.
To get his way on things.
Well, just like, it's a type. I'm sure he's used it to his benefit in his career.
Yeah. Well, like, he gets the intimidating security guard to come over and stand and stare sternly. And Skylar, I don't know why she's like, yo, this is not, I legitimately, I got this as a gift. It came from my sister. You don't like, that's not going to get Marie in jail or anything, but instead she just fakes a panic attack and leaves the jewelry store immediately.
I could see them, but yeah, they're like, my sister gave it to me. They're like, well, you better call your sister or else you're on the hook for this. I guess they couldn't really do much.
Yeah. I mean, what if she was just like, nah. I'm telling you, like, there's no, like, they don't have fucking security cameras to prove it's not her, you know?
Yeah. She could have been like, I don't know, I found it in a toilet.
Yeah. And I'm trying to come here and, but she said, I got it as a gift. I'm trying to return it. I don't have a receipt. True. So like, I don't know. It just, she didn't steal it. Like, it's weird to me that like, they would assume that the woman returning it also had stolen it. That's a weird.
I've talked about it on this podcast how I got accused of doing that one time, right? I've told you this story.
I don't think so, no.
Maybe. I think it might have been like a year ago. A short story is I've definitely told this story on the podcast. It's where I went to one Best Buy to try to find the 2009 Beatles remastered box set, and they didn't have it. They just had several of the individual albums. So I bought a few of them, went to another Best Buy to try and to get the albums I couldn't find. They had the box set and I was like, oh, sweet, I'll return these albums and then get the box set. And I went in to return them. And because like I'd gone in and out twice, they assumed what I did was buy something at a different Best Buy, take my receipt into then the second Best Buy, grab those items off the shelf and attempt to return them for like just so I could get free stuff. And then the police got called and they had to suss out the footage that I didn't do it.
That's insane. And what happened? When did they apologize to you at any point?
Like, barely. My mom got in there and chewed him out.
Good. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that happened.
Pretty sweet. She was like, this is ridiculous. Because she was at the Marshalls next door. Oh. That's what we used to do. Is she'd be like, I'm going to Marshalls. Do you want to come with and go to the Best Buy? And I go, I sure do, ma'am. Because Marshalls is boring. Actually, I like Marshalls more now. If right now you're like, hey, Marshalls or Best Buy, I'd say let's go to Marshalls.
Do they have other stuff besides clothes at Marshalls?
They got tchotchkes and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. They got like fun yard games sometimes.
I was wondering if it was like a Kohl's.
Nah, it's kind of... Kohl's, you can do Amazon returns at now, and that's actually pretty convenient.
Oh.
It depends which Kohl's. Like when I was back in Iowa, like if I wanted to return something, they'd be like, all right, you can mail it back with a label you print, or you can just take it to Kohl's. And I was like, I'll take it to Kohl's. They're like, yeah, and it's free, and you don't need a box or anything. Like, yeah, I'll take it to Kohl's.
That's good to know, because I got all this puppy stuff, so
yeah,
I got to return that. If the puppy doesn't like it, then I can take it to Kohl's, you know?
Yeah, Meg's getting a puppy. I don't think we've actually talked about that.
Yeah, I'm going to get a puppy in a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be neat.
Oh, and then later on, Skylar meets Marie at a store. It seems like Marie's all keyed up to shoplift again.
Yeah, she's... And does she actively? I don't see her put the earrings back that she tries to get.
I think it's implied that, like, she's about to do the deed, but then Skylar walks in.
Yeah. And Skylar tries to confront her, and Marie's completely denying everything and being really cagey and annoying. And, how does it end? It just kind of ends, basically.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And obviously, this is a huge storyline in season two going forward. Yeah. This is
this comes up most later. Of the show. Yeah. This is basically all of what breaking. What this is? It's about Marie Breaking Bad becoming a shoplifter. That's what Breaking Bad's in reference to.
I do like that they brought this back in some capacity, because it would have been weird if it would have just like shut off when they kind of resolve it in the beginning of season two. And then it come. I'm glad they brought it back in season four is all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It makes sense how it like that. The stress kind of triggers it in a way, too.
Or else when you rewatch it, you'd be like, this fucking, oh, this was, so when me and you were first starting, Ben Harp would sometimes like text me like stuff about later in the run that obviously you couldn't know about. And we had like a long discussion about this whole storyline.
Really? What did he say?
Just, he's like, that's the one plot line that doesn't go anywhere. And I was like, it kind of does in season four. They bring it back, but like not much. It gets Hank back involved with the meth stuff is all.
Yeah.
And we just talked about that for like an hour.
Yeah. I also, I don't want to bring it up. What upset us so much about last week's episode, I realized happened again in season five. And so.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah. I'm surprised we didn't bring that up.
Yeah. The fact that he does it again.
Well, he just is very much like, he's more in control and more menacing. And he's just kind of like, don't fuck with me.
No, it's not that. He rapes her again in season five in the episode. So I think it's in episode 51. Remember, like. It might not be 51. It's early in season five where he gets into bed with Skylar and she's like frozen. She's terrified.
Yeah, but they don't actually have sex.
No. He takes off his underwear. You see him pull off his underwear under the like he motions to it and he starts kissing her. And then I think that's like the end of the scene. But it's heavily implied that he forces himself.
I never took it as that. I took it as like he's just kind of like. Saying like I own you, like as bad. But,
no. He like he scooches his like pelvis into her and starts caressing her and kissing her, and he takes off his underwear and everything.
I don't remember the underwear thing, but maybe
it, well, it like I rewatched it yesterday because I.
Oh wow!
And I was like, oh man, like I was really mad.
Hey guys, Adam from the future here, and I just wanted to pop in and say I did get a chance to watch the scene again. Gotta say, Meg's right. I've seen the scene a bajillion times. I always thought it was a sexually violent scene, but not explicitly in the terms we're discussing here. And it could totally be interpreted that way, especially if that's what's going on after it fades to black. And considering what Meg pointed out, what Walt's doing under the covers there, taking off his underwear, that is a 100% valid interpretation of the scene, which is cool because, like I said, I've seen the scene a million times, never thought of it that way. And then Meg comes in with some fresh eyes and it's like, no, you ding dong, this is what's happening. And that's what I like about this show. So anyway, back to the episode.
I think the reason it stuck with me as much as it did that he did that, because there is nothing at this point that Walter White, there's nothing bad that Walter White hasn't done based on my watching of the series. Right. Even though other characters do bad things, it's kind of like a wacky circumstance elevates them to the level of bad that they get to. Like, Skylar probably shouldn't have sent two goons over to Ted Beneke's house, right? But Ted wouldn't have ended up hurt, probably, if he didn't try to run away and it's some fucking rug that makes him slip and fall and hurt himself, right? And so this bad situation happens, and yes, Skylar is involved, but she never means to hurt anybody. She doesn't do anything deliberate. It's just like a bad choice she makes. What Walt did last week and does again in season five is deliberate, and it's not a misunderstanding, and there's no cosmic karmic fuck up that happens to elevate the situation. He just chooses to do those things. It's just so, I don't know. You could even argue like what he does with Jane is like, you know, motivated by outside factors because she just had threatened to ruin his life and expose him and everything. Skylar's just making him chicken, you know? It's insane. It just really stuck with me. I really hate this character now.
No, I get it. And maybe I need to rewatch the episode because, like, we didn't even think of that, like, when we watched the first time.
Yeah, I had read, like, some stuff and people were like, yeah, and he does it again in season five.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then when I rewatched it, it's very clear that, you know, he does it again, and she's just too afraid of her husband to stop him at that point. But she's not consenting, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Interesting.
Yeah. Like, it's under the covers, but it's clear he's like...
Oh, it's under the covers?
So, like, okay. So what happens is, yeah, he gets into bed, and then he takes down his underwear and is, like, caressing her and kissing her, and she's, like, frozen.
Yeah, she's frozen.
And he, like, clearly is, like, getting close to her while talking and saying, like, life is good, Skylar. Like,
yeah. Oh, it's definitely sexual power.
Yeah.
Something. I didn't realize it just was straight up rape.
I guess, yeah. You know, like, I also was exposed to, after we watched that episode, and I, like, was so outraged. I was exposed to a lot of people on the internet kind of justifying what happens to Skylar in a really disgusting way, and like gross. Defending Walt. And I think, you know, another thing I got kind of mad about was just that, like, I don't think Vince Gilligan ever intended for Walt's actions to be viewed as like completely justifiable. I think that there's a subset of the population who like is not smart enough to understand that what Walt is doing is bad. And it's almost like emboldening them, you know?
Yeah, and it's and I'm pretty sure he knows that and doesn't like it.
Yeah.
But it is weird that the general population, especially at the time and still sometimes today, seems to be on his side. I was telling you this when we were texting. Me and you were being interviewed on another podcast in 2020, and they were asking about this podcast, and then they were like, "So, what do you think of Skylar?" And that's a crazy thing to ask.
Yeah.
It's like a victim, emotional,
we have victim nothing of
a lot of emotional and physical abuse.
Yeah. Nothing but sympathy for a very oppressed woman who's getting nothing but abused, and, you know, tries to leave and can't because that's how shitty our infrastructure is, like supporting abused people in the greatest country in the world.
I really wish at the time I would have been like, what do you think of Skylar? I didn't have the chutzpah to say that at the time.
I'm not so bold and clever that I would have been able to, like, you know, I think maybe I also wouldn't want to come off as like argumentative, you know, just answer the question.
No. And also it's things are much easier now. But at the time, I remember I had to be so careful about what I said for not spoiling you on stuff.
Oh, yeah, because we were still in season 4 or season 3 at that time. Yeah. Yeah. So sorry to go down that tangent.
That's okay.
But
throw in another content warning on this bad boy.
I think about it too much. It just really stuck with me. And I think maybe also it kind of resonated just seeing it in this episode where, like, yes, she's willingly engaging with sex with her husband, but, like, it's, they're so very different. That year between the episode we just watched and the episode we watched last week is insanely different. It's a different show, you know? It's like these people have their thumb up their asses most of the time, and then all of a sudden he becomes, like, a criminal mastermind over the course of season 2. It's insane, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Gus thing is the biggest. Season 1 and 2 are very much different from season 3 and 4 and 5 because they stop working in an RV and start working in a super lab, and that's just a big fucking change.
Yeah, and they're obviously more proficient and know literally anything about the business, whereas here it's like, well, it's like, just you do the thing, and then Jesse's like, you do the science, and they kind of operate individually.
And getting a Saul type to handle the money is obviously makes it more professional.
Yeah, but I mean, even just the writing and just these characters, I don't know, like, I think if I had watched through this series the correct way, I would have gotten to episode 1 season 2, and I would have, my whole motivation, if I even continued watching, would be to see Walt fail. And I would only be waiting for the time he got caught. And I don't even, like, it just upset me so much.
Wow.
Like, I don't know what it is, you know?
No, I mean, it's upsetting. He did a very bad thing. He is the worst type of person.
Yeah, but I think also, you know, I've been told, without people spoiling anything, that, like, you meet Walter White in a sympathetic place, and then he becomes this bad person. I don't think, you know, we're a couple months out, a couple weeks out from his initial diagnosis. Like, I don't think there's any amount of stress a person could be put under in a short amount of time that would then make them become this, you know?
I've heard that a lot, and it has been, I've heard that recently, some friends, and there's some definite gender dynamics in this show that someone smarter than me could really dig into. Because I've heard that from only women I know who've watched it recently. Like, I have a really good friend who I recommended to, and she goes, I fucking hate Walt, like, from season 1 on.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's it. And it's, I get it. I get it. I never thought he's always a dick.
Yeah.
And then he does this thing pretty early on in the run.
And then how do you want him to succeed after that is my question. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I wouldn't, you know?
Yeah. And I think, yeah. And I think the trick the show's trying to do is be like, hey, this guy's going to do slowly, slowly worse and worse stuff. Are you still going to root for him?
Yeah.
And some people do.
Well, I think the one interesting thing is, like, you have this dichotomy between Walt and Jesse and all of Jesse's friends. And, like, those guys are all huge meth heads. They don't work. They, you know, kind of bum off their parents and love strippers. But Jesse, had, no matter how bad stuff gets, never intentionally harms somebody he loves. And he, for the most part, I feel like the second he becomes close with a person, would only do things to serve to protect that person. Like, he kind of is weird with Andrea, where he's like, what if we did meth after making up? But once he realizes she has a kid, he totally stops that. He becomes a good person. He realizes, or he, I don't know. It's just like, you can't say it's the drugs that forces Walt or being involved. No. It was just choices he made to continue that lifestyle, because the people who are already actively in drugs were not doing things that extreme, you know?
Some article I read was really good at pointing at comparing this show to The Sopranos and saying, this show's about a guy who's lived a good life, but is actively evil on the inside and has always been.
Yeah.
And is now actively trying to let that out. And have you ever seen The Sopranos?
No.
The Sopranos is about a guy who's genuinely good inside, but has, from outside forces, because he's like grew up in a mob family, has been had to leave an actively evil life and is trying his best to not do that. And they're just kind of opposite. And then when we get into Better Call Saul, that's kind of an interesting one, because that one is about a guy who is a pretty good person and just everyone thinks is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And so then he kind of becomes that.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know. But yeah, no, I think he's bad the whole time. He's evil from the beginning. It's just, he's not lived that way in his life, and he slowly lets it out, and it's bad.
All right. Well, I guess, you know, there's just something about, there's been a lot of things that have been like, how do you like this guy? I find him more likable as ultimate evil version we see of Walter White in Felina than I it was just kind of like, yeah, this guy is evil. It's easy to understand. And I didn't know the depths of the things he did, and his motivation for all of it is essentially just to kind of be special and leave money behind, which if he had died, Skyler would have just gotten help from Gretchen and Elliot, right? Like,
yeah, maybe if she would have gone to them, because she doesn't really know them.
Yeah, but like, let's say Walt wasn't so proud and he comes out and says, I have real bad cancer. It sucks. And the Elliots say, or the Schwartzes say, that's a bummer. You know what? We're going to help your family out should something happen. And we're going to help take care of you because we love you and we can do this thing. Like, obviously, we don't know what actually would have happened. Maybe they would have caught him on a bad day and they said, no, thanks. We're not going to help. Sucks to be you. But, like, Skylar would have been okay. The kids would have been okay.
Yeah, she probably would have been. And also, but I think, if that's true, and I think it probably is actually, Walt finds that idea so repugnant, which is why, because of the pride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why he did. Yeah. He thinks, because he's bad. He's a bad person. And he's just like been living like a decent life all his life because, and then, yeah, he realized like, why? I'm fucking evil.
Yeah. I'm going to die. It doesn't really matter if I let this out. I'm going to
do all that evil shit I want to do constantly.
Yeah. It's wild because, yeah, he has this kind of scapegoat goat where he could have just accepted help probably forever. And instead he's like, but instead I'll cook meth because it's something I'll do myself. And I don't care what I put my family through versus like, I'll accept help from my billionaire friends. You know?
And because of all this, that's my biggest problem with the finale. I think the finale is a little bit too redeeming of him.
Yeah.
That he gets his, like, I did it for me. It was me. I was like, I don't want you to learn a fucking lesson. I don't, like, I kind of wish the finale was, like, Jesse rigging a machine gun to finally murder Walt.
Yeah, I think that, that would have been
like,
good.
Get the Nazis out of there. Like, he should have been the Nazis. That's what my take was.
Yeah, it should have been taking him down, not him taking anyone else down. It almost would have made more sense for season five, maybe been more satisfying for me for season five, exactly, him to assume the role of the Nazis and Jesse to figure out how to get it to come down because he's too powerful, you know?
Yeah, I thought he was going to, like, try to, like, be a much more egocentric Gus, is what I thought season five was going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of, yeah, I mean, I love season five. I like what they did with it, especially all the Hank stuff is great.
Yeah.
But that's just, that's the direction I thought it would go, and it didn't. And I thought Jesse and Walt Jr. would meet and hang out.
And, yeah, play.
And play Magic the Gathering, yeah. But they never do.
So anyway, right. Skylar, she fakes a panic attack and she yells at Marie, and Marie has bad bangs in this scene that we don't like. And she looks so much younger in this episode too, to me. She looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was kind of it with that. It's not resolved. Yeah. She's like, I can't confess to something I don't have any knowledge of, a wink, wink.
Oof. Getting lied to your face. Not fun.
Yeah.
It's happened.
and then
we get the scene from the junkyard that we've seen a bunch.
Yes. And there's not much to go over there. They just give Tuco the meth, and Tuco's excited about it. And then when he does the meth, he's crazier and more explosive than ever before.
Yeah. All right. We did it. what would you give this episode?
This is still a B+ to me.
I think it's a B+. I mean, this one might get an A- from me. I do like it. But what does the Ringer rank it
I think
as?
This one is closer to like 53.
So very on the low end?
I think, yeah. I don't think it's highly regarded.
So yeah, it's almost slap in the middle. It is 35.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah, you're bad.
I did a bad.
You did a bad. You failed, and now you have to go eat a bowl of snot. I don't know. My rules.
Oh, wow. Is it snot flavored jelly beans from Harry Potter world, or is it?
No, you have to snot into a bowl until you get a bowl full of snot, and then you got to eat the snot. That's the rules we came up with.
Oh,
I know. Wait, you haven't been doing it every time you get the Ringer thing wrong?
No.
Oh, you have a lot of snot bowls to eat.
Oh, I'm going to gag. Ew.
You got to catch up. Mm. All right. Well, yeah.
I guess that's...
Talked about it. Talked about it. A bunch of bullshit, then talked about a bunch of serious stuff for 20 minutes, then got back into bullshit. Gonna slap another content warning on this one.
Is that bad? Did I do a bad there?
No.
By diving into it.
It was good to discuss it. I do want to rewatch... Yeah, I want to rewatch that clip. And
I mean, maybe see, you can I, see... It seems like, at the very least, unwanted sexual power, but there is this subtle... It's not even that subtle. He does... You know, lay down, you can tell he's propping up the blanket, and you can even hear him pulling down his underwear.
I'll watch it. Yeah, it's we can talk about it next week, whether or not I was like, yeah. But no, I don't mind you bringing that stuff up. I always just feel like an idiot and unqualified because I'm a man.
No, I mean, I think you know, as long as you're not arguing that, like, you know, not in absent of enthusiastic consent, sexual, you know, exchanges can still happen in marriage that are one-sided. As long as you're not arguing that, you don't sound like an idiot, you know?
Okay, cool. Okay, so I'm on the right side of history, you think?
From my perspective, yes.
Okay, oof. All right, good. Well, until next time.
A mighty fine Heisenberg to you, fair listener.
A goodbye.
Bye-bye.